Joining me now from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is Adam Lankford, professor of criminology at the University of Alabama. He last joined us just a month ago to talk about the Las Vegas massacre. Adam, it's a shame in a way that we have to have you back, but we're very grateful to you for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
I want to listen just for a second to a couple of people. First, a woman who lives a couple of blocks from the church in Texas. And you may have heard this, but she was describing very plaintively the scene to NPR's John Burnett today.
The scene looked terrible. Everybody was bleeding, crying. There was dead bodies everywhere. Babies. People trying to just get a hold of their family. Of course, their phones broke. They shattered. They got, shattered up. And people just crying and just really, really bad off. Disaster. Blood everywhere.
Blood everywhere. It's just hard to hear. And then the president in Japan, Tokyo, earlier today saying mental health, not gun laws, root cause of the shooting in Texas.
I think that mental health is your problem here. This was based on preliminary reports, very deranged individual, a lot of problems over a long period of time. We have a lot of mental health problems in our country, as do other countries. But this isn't a guns situation.
Adam Lankford, you're a very fine thinker on this. We've all got feelings about this today as well. As you look at what just happened, in terms of how our country is situated with itself and in the world, what do you take from the details of that we know so far of how this unfolded?
Well, frankly, I guess I even wonder whether the president really believes what he said. He suggested it was a mental health problem, but then he acknowledged that, of course, all sorts of countries around the world have mental health problems as well. If you look at
they don't all have mass shootings like the United States of America on a regular basis.
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, in terms of mental health, if the president was correct, then countries with higher suicide rates than the United States should have more public mass shooters. According to the World Health Organization, the United States ranks 48th in countries by suicide rate. Do 47 countries have worse mass shooting problems than we do? Of course not. But we are number one in firearm ownership rate, number one in public mass shooters. I did a study of 171 countries over 40 years to find out, is there a relationship between homicide rate, suicide rate, firearm ownership rate, different variables? What explains why we have the most public mass shooters? And it was clearly firearm ownership rate.
There's a big picture here, and it's a very painful picture in a country that just sees one after another after another. But for a moment, look at the details here. I mean, here's 26 years old, kicked out of the Air Force after being found that he had assaulted his wife and child while he was in. Had 12 months confinement in the Air Force, got a bad conduct discharge in 2014, showed up here in tactical gear with a Ruger military-style gun. What do you see in all that, Adam?
Well, there are a lot of different elements of this. In terms of the abusive behavior, that's a pattern we've seen in some other offenders, for example, the Orlando nightclub shooter. According to his ex-wife, she said that he had started physically abusing her as well. So, that seems to be kind of a symptom of uncontrolled anger and violence. But beyond that, I guess, thinking about this case, the dressing in all black, we've seen other offenders do that as well. And I guess the scary idea is that which had these two terrible attacks within just 5 weeks, are these attackers influencing each other in a way that leads to these things becoming more common?
What's that about, the black tactical gear? Is that just the color that tactical gear comes in, or do you see a kind of costuming for performance here? How do you interpret it?
Right. I think it is both, that, sometimes these individuals are thinking of themselves as warriors in their own kind of distorted view. But yes, I really think of it as costuming. And in fact, we've seen that other kind of costuming has occurred before. The Aurora movie shooter, dressed like a comic book character, and we've also seen that other offenders have looked at what their role models, previous attackers, have worn, and then tried to wear something similar.
It's mind-blowing. What about access to this kind of gun? Does the kind of gun that he had here, this semi-automatic, military-style assault rifle, matter in terms of the deadliness of this attack?
Well, certainly, we've seen shooters use a variety of guns. Sometimes they use more than one gun. And you know, it's fair to say that people can be, you know, deadly with different types of firearms. But, you know, ultimately, I think the key factor there is how quickly can an attacker get off a bunch of rounds, get off a bunch of shots, and then be ready to shoot again and again, more and more. So, you know, high-capacity magazines, the ability to keep shooting without reloading often, these are all things that affect the death toll.
I mean, speaking of mental health, do we have a big a problem here nationally? We're sitting and watching these things day after day, week after week, month after month, right now on this scale, and it doesn't appear that we're doing anything about it.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it's an interesting point, which is there have been studies which show that this type of attack does have mental health consequences for people far beyond those who are simply, like, harmed or their families are harmed. That it has kind of a effect that reaches, you know, community members, you know, people who consume the coverage of these tents.
You mean not just in Sutherland Springs, but nationally?
Right, exactly. So, you know, in this comparison, you know, after 9/11, there were measures of PTSD in New York City, and people felt PTSD who were in no way directly involved in that attack. So that's concerning, but, you know, I guess on the flip side, becoming too numb to this, if it doesn't have an effect on you, I think that's a problem too, and it could be one of the things that's keeping us from making real change. Because, you know, if I think about this attack as just another attack, it doesn't anger me as much. If I think about it as something that could happen to me, my loved ones, you know, what if that was my 5-year-old? What was that? If that was my pregnant wife, then it makes me think, you know, something really needs to change.
I mean, if you looked at this from a distance and you saw a society that was being hit again and again and again by mass shootings like this and just took it, you would wonder, what's wrong with these people? A lot of callers for you. Janice in Talmadge, Ohio. Janice, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Well, I'm kind of caught off guard here. I had my statement all prepared, what I wanted to say.
Speak from your heart, Janice. What do you think?
Okay, well, I'm for gun control. I'm just so dismayed and disheartened by the direction our country is going that we won't do anything about gun control. It's like we're just, the media presents all this and we just get engrossed in the story rather than the solution. And whether we like it or not, this is a horrible, horrible problem in our country. And we have got to be able to pass legislation that where people are expected to control themselves. I understand, you know, that Donald Trump said this morning or yesterday that it's not guns. It is guns. It's guns being put in the hands of people who are desperate and mentally ill, and there are no services out there to help these people. We don't have this problem in other countries. We don't run, you know, my son lives in Canada. They don't run around shooting each other and creating chaos like we do down here.
Yeah.
And there is something about the American mindset that is very destructive. Okay.
Well, look at that, Janice. I really appreciate your call. The American mindset. Steve in Hartford, Connecticut. You're on, Steve. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. I called in a couple of years ago and talked to you about this and said that America should start reporting these like the weather report. They are so common now, it's just something that either we're going to be shocked about or we're going to do something about. And for someone to argue that this has nothing to do with guns or the amount of bullets that one can shoot, that's just nuts. And that's where the term gun nuts come from. Perhaps you should stop calling it gun control and start calling it gun safety. That might help.
Might help. But here we are 2 years after, and you're in Connecticut, of course, where we saw the terrible shooting at the school 2 years later. Here we remain, and the pace, if anything, picked up. Carl in Nashville, Tennessee. Carl, you're on the air.
Well, here we are again.
Yeah.
And me, I've noticed a disturbing trend within the media and within our politicians as a black person in this country. If you're black, you commit something like this, you're an animal, you're angry, you're mean, you're a gangbanger. If you're Asian or Hispanic or Arab, you're a terrorist. If you're white, you're mentally ill. And we're going to have to start calling what it is. These are terrorist attacks. Plain and simple. Mass shootings in America.
But terrorism, terrorism with what agenda, Carl?
Well, here's the thing. Do you need, we have been taught that you have to be a religious zealot to commit terrorism, when that's just not true. You could be anyone. You could be a non-denomination and still be a terrorist. Case in point, the guy who shot 500 and something people and killed 58 people. He was nothing short of a terrorist.
Yeah, out of the window in Las Vegas. Carl, I appreciate your call. I mean, Janice goes very big to what is it with the American mindset? Or is it a mindset? Or are we in, you know, you've got critics who say, well, this is the gun lobby. This is the gun manufacturing industry. They sell and sell and sell, and we're in their control. You've also got true believers that we need that Second Amendment freedom no matter what. And then you've got the characterization issue, Adam. I mean, President Trump, after the Home Depot truck, caught one of those people in New York, called the driver a degenerate animal. Now you've got a white guy in Texas, and he's talking about mental illness. Does that matter here? And what about the terrorism label? Does that matter? Help us, Adam.
Right. Well, I think those labels are not particularly meaningful. Certainly, we can identify a difference in motive, that some people claim to have motives that we call terrorist, and others don't claim to have those motives. But the caller was absolutely right that, you know, I made a parallel a few minutes ago between the attacker from yesterday and the Orlando nightclub shooter,
yep,
who claimed to be affiliated with ISIS, and that they both shared issues of domestic violence. So, yes, looking beyond race, religion, to the underlying factors that drive these individuals, that absolutely makes a lot of sense. And in fact, you know, thinking back to that Orlando nightclub shooter, I've actually argued that if we thought about him less in terms of terrorism, you know, if he hadn't been investigated as purely a terrorist threat, but just as an unstable person who could commit a mass killing, there would have been a better chance of seeing his warning signs for what they were.
But things seem like they're going the other way. We had this national instant criminal background check system that was supposed to, George Bush brought this in after Virginia Tech, in background checks and looking for people with mental health issues. And as I understand it, that was being bolstered late last year and early in the Trump administration. That was scrapped. What direction are we going here?
Yeah, well, you know, keeping guns out of the hands of people who are mentally ill and dangerous, you know, obviously that would be a great thing to accomplish. But you're right, it doesn't seem like we're moving in that direction. I'm not sure there's the political will, and then there's, you know, huge logistical challenges as far as that goes. You know, I think, again, you know, to some of your callers and really the anger that you hear coming from them, and I think that that needs to be harnessed. You know, these things, if the average American sees something like this and thinks it's horrible and then just really considers it kind of a temporary inconvenience, you know, a news story they had to read and got their mood down, that's not good enough. I don't think any Americans, if they thought, could I do something that would save a 5-year-old tomorrow morning? That's the kind of thing that should leverage their emotions and spark real change.
And it seems it could be anybody's 5-year-old.
That's right.
Robert in Oklahoma City. Robert, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say that I feel like I recognize this issue. I used to live in Honduras in Central America.
Yeah.
Which has huge income inequality and also a high murder rate. And I think those two things go hand in hand. Your caller before that mentioned about, the greater cost to society when there's income inequality. I think this is directly related to that.
I mean, Honduras is sort of the murder capital of the world, and you're recognizing what patterns in the United States now.
Yeah. I mean, when there's income inequality, such high income inequality, desperate people do desperate things. And I feel like we're kind of cannibalizing ourselves in terms of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer and even more desperate and even more angry. And in Honduras, they're very, very wealthy people. And they spend a great deal of that wealth sending their children to private schools with bodyguards in bulletproof vans. And is that the kind of society we want?
No, it is not. No, it is not. But I appreciate your call very much, Robert. Adam, we got a minute. a big thought for Americans as they look at this and don't want to just be paralyzed, don't just want to sit here while this bloodbath goes on and on.
Well, you know, really I would say these things are happening so often, and they're happening, they're becoming worse and worse in terms of the death tolls. And what I would say is, you know, that's not a coincidence. These offenders are learning from each other. And if there's one thing I guess I'm hopeful about, it would be kind of changing the media coverage of these attackers and making it so they're less likely to influence each other.
How so? In 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Don't publish their names as often. Don't publish their photos, and remove their incentive to become famous at any cost.
Let's just say this then. It was a bloody murderer who took the lives of so many in Sutherland Springs yesterday. It's sickening. It's happening way too often. It's not admirable. The costume is not cool. And a whole lot of people are really fed up with this. So, Americans, what are we going to do about it? What will this country do about this rate of mass shootings? Adam Langford, professor of criminology at the University of Alabama, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.